money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, welcome to the show. Reb's going to do most of the talking today because if you're listening, you might notice I'm a little congested. And so, you know, Reb, it's all on you. Should I just step back now? We do have a guest.
Ray so. And I can do the show. Just show your pretty face. That's all we need today.
How about I do a little bit of the housekeeping here up front, and then we'll see how it goes. I don't think I can hold back from actually talking, to be honest. So welcome to the show, Ray.
Thank you, Borg, from
Financial Discipleship Canada, and a regular on the show. If you're a first-time listener, you can go back and any number. Should we try and have you here once a month? Because we so appreciate the conversations we get to have. We get to dig into so many, just deep and I would say that the questions that we have on our heart, we get to have this conversation right here. So welcome to the show. Today, of course, the sponsor is notmine.ca and Ray, Financial Discipleship Canada. Thank you for that. And just in case you're tuning in on a Friday morning on 99.1 or CHRI and the expanded network that they have over in Montreal, welcome those people in Montreal. And then, of course, up in the Pembroke area. So in Eastern Ontario here, we've got a little bit of that reach on Friday mornings. And, of course, if you're listening on a podcast or on YouTube, feel free to leave a comment, to subscribe, to share. That way we get to share these conversations with a wider audience. How's that?
Pretty good. Yeah, let's get on with the show. Okay.
Dave will shut up now. Here we go.
So I was trying to imagine what it would be like. I don't have to think about it actually too much, but I was thinking about how we honor people in scripture or people from the past who were stewards or, you know, like a man like Paul, we talk about him, we put him maybe on a pedestal a little bit, you know, he's as an apostle, you know, we put, you know, some of the other, like they were martyred. We talk about Peter. We think, man, if we could have just been like Peter, or of course we talk about Jesus and we want to be just like him. But sometimes we read about people in scripture that we get a name and then we just move on. We're like, you know, he's just writing a list, like a great chronology, right? I'm learning with Serena at home. We're doing the Bible Project videos, you know, the narrative and the biblical narrative and names and how important that kind of ancient Jewish writing was in the culture. And sometimes we don't understand the importance of naming those people. And then we go to the letters of Paul or the others, and we see these names. You know, one of them was Justus. And of course, Justus was a friend of Paul. And I believe he was a Jew who had converted to Christianity, to Christ. And everyone says, is that why you named your son Justus? And I'm like, no, in fact, I didn't even know it was there till a year after he was born. So we have named our son Justus, spelt the same way as Paul's friend. But then Ray actually sent me a message like 2 weeks ago about a blog someone wrote about the woman Phoebe mentioned in the book of Romans. Now, I don't know. You guys are probably listening thinking, where are we going with this? What does this have to do with money? Well, we want to talk about Phoebe today because she was a gospel patron and Paul recommends her to the church in Rome at the time. And he says this about her in Romans 16:1-2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. So here's this woman from the past. What would that be like if she could have known that the whole globe reading scripture for decades upon decades would read about her? I was thinking, if that was me, would that change that how I'd live? Would that change how I carried and stewarded things that God had asked me to carry and steward? Because we're going to learn a little bit about her. And I want to ask Ray right off the bat, why did you send me that message?
You know what? It just really struck me about this godly woman that Paul makes reference to. And just her positioning in scripture is like, you know, like you said, we just kind of read over the name and we don't give much attention to it because in the context, there's not much more than that. But when you unpack it, which this blog writer, Ron, who's from Israel, wrote, it just struck me. This woman had a significant role to play, and she's mentioned in scripture. And sometimes we all have a role to play, and sometimes we don't think about it or we minimize it. And I was just really struck how significant her role was.
Yeah, so her name is Phoebe. She carried the letter from Paul to the church at Rome. She, this great theological book that we struggle to understand some of the depth of what Paul was writing, but she carried that, but she didn't just carry the letter. She was actually, what Paul writes of her was a benefactor of Paul. He was one of the ones that she supported. Now, one of the translations is patron. So one of the words for benefactor is patron. And this whole story reminded me of having a podcast years ago with John Reinhart from Gospel Patrons, because he has a whole story. And I mean, I'm on YouTube, I'm holding up the book. He wrote a book, but it was more than that. This is the culmination of 2 years of research into the people who supported these giants we've always heard of in renewals or revivals. And this is what he describes on their website, gospelpatrons.org, what a patron is. When God raises up people to proclaim the gospel, he also raises up people to be patrons of the gospel. If they have different gifts and different roles, but are partners in the same mission, it's there in scripture. It's there in history. God works through generosity leaders to advance the gospel. So if you go to gospelpatrons.org, you're going to get a ton of stories and videos, and you can get the book, and they've done other books as well. But their tagline is this: behind great movements of God are generous leaders who advance the gospel. And according to this scripture from Romans 16, we are learning that this woman, Phoebe, was that person for Paul. Was one of those people for Paul. And I mean, I think it's significant that she was a woman. Because I think that's
pretty. I was going to bring that up if you weren't going to bring that up, Rev. I'm like, and there's a little extra bonus, but also some significance. So rightly so, that she is a woman, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but she was also a deacon or deaconess, and she was likely a business person. She had to have a source for this financial impetus into Paul's life, and she also, at least that's what Ron Cantor in that blog pointed out, was she probably traveled. That's probably why she was carrying the letter. Because if she was a business person, she would have traveled from region to region, right? At least, I mean, we can infer that. We don't know for sure, but...
Yeah, I would think that's the case. And to put it in a bit more of a context... They didn't have churches in those days. They would
like
have
church buildings and
listening. So she would have walked in relationship with Paul. They would have gathered most likely in her home, and they would have sat around the table, and they would have dialogued about the things of God and the things that were stirring in Paul's heart and spirit. Wow. So she began to distill, I suspect, at some level, what Paul's heart was for the Romans in the essence of what he began to put out in a letter.
Yeah, I my imagination goes crazy just thinking about them at the table discussing the things that is unfolding for him, and then her volunteering, then all of a sudden realizing, well, I could take the letter. I could, like, this is really important. I could take the letter.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was thinking about it on a little bit of a practical, you know, here they are. Obviously, Phoebe has had relationship with Paul in other contexts, you know. Again, we can just infer that from that he's experienced her generosity, right? So he's saying, hey, this is a woman that I know, and this is a woman I'm commending to you. I'm giving to you the Romans. Oh, and by the way, you know, they backing up a little bit, she just happens to be coming. Like, Paul could have delivered the letter personally or not, right? Like, maybe, but this is going back to your quote that you started with, Reb, from Gospel Patrons. This is how God interweaves different people with different gifts and different placings and different times to advance the gospel. It doesn't have to be Paul running from every church to do it. Paul writes the letter, Phoebe delivers the letter, people respond to the letter, and the gospel is spread in a way that we could never have imagined.
Well, and if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he also had benefactors. He also had people who were giving to his ministry so that they could move forward and eat and have a place to stay sometimes, or, you know, because we all need to eat. Mm-hmm. And we all, like, you know, and if you're listening thinking, you know, you're shy or you're like, I remember when I was high school and this missionary came and said, you know, if, you know, he was talking about going to Africa, and I was terrified that God was going to tell me to go to Africa. Not that Africa's bad or anything like that, but based on where I was as a young person, I was like, this is what God's going to ask of me, to go to a land I don't know. And yeah, he might have done that, but not everybody is Paul. Not everybody is Timothy. Not everybody is Peter. Not everybody, is your pastor. Not everybody is Ray or Dave or Reb, who's like more out in the public eye. You may have a great significant role in being a benefactor for someone, a patron. I mean, it's part of what you give at church. If you're listening, if you give to your church, you're actually supporting the ministries of your church that are extending the good news of Jesus into your communities. And that's, you can call yourself a gospel patron, a benefactor.
And I think taking great joy, when we think about it like that, then it adds joy to our giving. More than just, again, using your example, I give to the church every week and it pays the bills. Okay. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. I am one of those people that may be a silent benefactor, that only the Lord's going to see that. And I can take great joy in the generosity that I have the ability to give, whether it's much or whether it's little in terms of a dollar value. Again, we know the Lord looks at that a little bit differently. So Ray was going to say something. I know.
Well, you know, there's another good example, just referencing in terms of Phoebe, that David had a benefactor. His name was Barzillai. And you see about him in 2 Samuel 17. And then he was an 80-year-old man. It says in actually chapter 19. But he brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat, barley, and flour, parched grain, and beans, and lentils, and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people in the city. And you'll see him referenced. He was a very rich man. But I like how they describe Phoebe here as a servant of the church. Mm-hmm. Barzillai saw himself as a servant of David and what God was doing. He knew God was with David, and so he wanted to support him in his mission. I believe Phoebe had a sense that the church was on mission in that season, and she, as described here by Paul, was a servant of the church. Whether it was to be there in fellowship with Paul at that time, mm-hmm. or then taking this precious cargo to this letter from Paul to the Romans to say, here is his heart for you as a people.
What jumps out at me for what you just said about this gentleman who supported David was that he saw what was happening, that I don't know how you just worded it, but he saw what God was doing with David, and he wanted to meet him there. And who knows how that nudging happened? Who knows how that idea came?
That's right.
You know, if he was in prayer one day and God just said, go give him, like, he needs provision. But I mean, what you often ask people this when they're talking to you about giving, David, like, what excites you? What is generating a burden in you? Or you're really interested and you think, yeah, God is in this. And that's, I'm going to just give some of my money, but also maybe my time or like he donated food. I mean, right now there's great need in food banks. Right. Like there is no lack of places to give support, and because the heart of God is for the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan, and any of those spaces we are being patrons of Jesus, really, because Jesus said, if we do it to the least of these, we're doing it for him. So we're actually being benefactors of Jesus himself, being able to give and pour out. And I guess that was my question. I wrote it in our show notes. Like, what jumped out at me was that whole issue of her carrying the precious cargo to Rome. And then I asked myself, well, what is it that I'm carrying? What are you carrying? Like, what are we carrying that's so precious that we are partnering with God in this task? And are we using our influence and our experience, our expertise, and bringing this hope? Like, maybe we don't think of being a gospel patron, or we're just thinking about, well, I'm going to give and I'm going to tithe, but shifting it into this understanding that we're benefactors of Jesus, that we're patrons of his work. Like that's way more joy bringing to me. That's way more like, oh man, God, what are you doing? And how can I bring, what did he bring? Sheep and cheese and curds and like
all kinds of good stuff.
And though he was wealthy, we don't have to be wealthy to, in our own definition, to be able to share what we have. And like, this is all just really like that idea that we're actually benefactors of Christ, because he said, if you do it to these, then you're, you know, you're doing it to me.
Yeah. And I think too, recognizing that we don't always have it all figured out in the sense of how the Lord's going to do that. Paul writes the letter to the Romans. I'm sure that burden was on his heart, and he's, you know, digesting that and working that through. And again, then all of a sudden, you know, at the right time, Phoebe says, oh, by the way, I'm going to Rome. And Paul's like, great, I've got this letter that's been burning in my heart, but I didn't know how to get it there because Paul was not planning to be there. And, you know, clearly the Holy Spirit had said, no, you're not going there yet. And so,
did he write that letter to the Romans when he was in prison? I didn't look that up before I left. There's someone, everyone's listening now, and yes, they're saying, right, Rab, right. You don't know this.
But what we do know is Paul wasn't going to Rome. Right. To deliver this letter. It was Phoebe who was going to deliver the letter. And so, you know, I know for me, you know, often it's like, okay, I hear the Lord saying, Dave, just do what I've asked you to do and then allow someone else the opportunity. I'm at work in their hearts to be able to advance the gospel too. You don't have to have it all figured out. And then it just, it comes to light in God's timing and in God's way. And so if you're a Phoebe who's thinking, oh, I'm just going to Rome, and yet you connect with Paul and go, hey, maybe I can take the letter and I get excited about what you're writing. And then that adds a whole new dynamic to the relationship between Paul and Phoebe to go, oh, well, let me share the excitement I have for the Romans and some of the things I'm saying. And that conversation comes out of there. Right. And that's an encouragement to Paul, but it's also an encouragement to Rome. So just that we don't have it all figured out. I think that's what struck me about the whole
And we can all have a part to play. There's exactly. This invitation to join the Lord in the work he's doing. And he's like, I look at our team at More Than Enough and I'm like, God has sent people like coaches to coach because they have a desire to help people in their finances. And then they get trained up and it's way beyond us. And we can't all we do our little part, but we can't do it all. And there's this invitation that God's just extending and saying, do you want to be part of my work? Cause you're invited to, and you may not know how to do that. You may think, I have nothing to offer, but you have more to offer than you understand. And just start asking the Lord, I think, about that. I don't know if you have any comment about that.
Well,
right?
You know what? As I heard David talking, I was thinking, I was reminded that in Ron's blog, he talked about how, you know, back in those times, they didn't have postal service, FedEx, or fax machines. Letters were hand-delivered. So there was that personal point of contact. Mm-hmm. So she carried the heart of Paul, I think, for the Romans, hearing his heart. And then she arrives and she shares this letter from Paul. How we carry in our heart sometimes things that is precious cargo. It could be just a scripture. It could be a gentle touch. It could be a hug. It mm-hmm. could be finances. You know, it's looking for those opportunities where we can partner with what he's doing and just making ourselves available.
Wow.
Even in the simplicity, I mean, Brazil, he could have given gold coins and all that kind of stuff, but he gave practical, tangible things. And sometimes we may not have all the wealth, but there may be a few things we have extra that might be a blessing. Lord, you know what? I don't need this. Is this something I could give to somebody else and bless them with it?
Yeah. And God is in those details for sure. He's in those small things that we sometimes could dismiss, just like we might have dismissed Phoebe's name if Ron from Israel hadn't pointed it out to me.
Right.
And I guess that commending, he commended Phoebe to them because that was also something they did. In a letter, Paul would commend the people who were delivering the letter or who were coming, right? He didn't just do it for Phoebe and another letter. It was justice. And that wasn't just because he had to say, oh, well, she's a woman. Cause there may be some of you women out there thinking, we have this narrative in the church sometimes that, you know, we have lesser roles or however that, whatever your opinion can be. And here he's just like, this is a woman, just like, Timothy's grandmother and mother, right?
Mm-hmm. Aquila.
Yeah, they had a role as well in the patronage and the being a gospel patron of what the apostles were doing and part of the story. And he's commending her because of who she is, and he wants them to listen to her and receive what is from his hand. And to confirm, it's not a forgery. Ron Cantor also says that, you know, this isn't just a made up thing. Like, how do we know it's actually from Paul? Because of this commendation, because there's a witness to it. And that's also an important part, I think, because as a woman, becoming a business person later in my years, understanding that I have significance as a gospel patron or actually being a bringer of good news to people, it's a very humbling thing, but it's also, it feels like Jesus is honoring her actually mm-hmm. at the same time. And so is Paul. Not because it's about her, but as an encouragement for us women who are living in 2025, that we as business women, we as homemakers in the home have significance and we can be just as influential quietly in our world with our children or with our business partners or with running a company. We have significance and God invites us as women to be these kind of gospel patrons. And it's for what season you're in or what sphere of influence you have, it's stepping into that and saying, God, like you said, Ray, just now, like being available and offering what we have.
I guess I just want to echo what you're saying. The words affirming and confirming come to mind.
Right.
For you as a woman, you know, we just want to encourage you to rise up and to step into your calling. whether that's a businesswoman or a housewife or a mother, mm-hmm. in all aspects of that, you know, God has a purpose and put gifting within you, and you can partner with him in what he's doing for kingdom purposes. You can be a patron in different aspects and expressions, mm-hmm. but there are those businesswomen, and we just want to encourage today and just say, rise up in doing all that God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really encouraging thing for me to hear. So I was excited we were going to talk about Phoebe today. So I get to meet her in heaven. I'm going to say, where's Phoebe?
You know, I was just, sorry, just going back to that question, you know, it said that Paul wrote the book in Corinth when he was in Corinth.
Correct.
But in view of his personal plans, Paul wrote to introduce himself to a church he had never visited. At the same time, he set forth a full and orderly statement of the great principles of the gospel that he preached. I know that, I think Ron talks about, or I heard, it talked about his credentials and laying them out before the people to say, this is who I am.
Right.
And but I'm just thinking, what a role for Phoebe to carry that book, first personally, as a businesswoman, precious cargo, keeping and guarding the authenticity of it. And she's going, as in some senses, as a forerunner to say, mm-hmm. I'm introducing a dear brother in the Lord, a godly man, an apostle. He's going to come and he's going to speak, but he's written this precious letter for you, mm-hmm. to give understanding of who he is and the essence of the gospel. And who Jesus
is. Kind of like an ambassador.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the, like, right? Yeah. As an ambassador of Paul. But also then I think of that translates for us. We are ambassadors of Christ. And how are we carrying his precious word and his love and his intent and his plan? Yeah, it's amazing.
Is that a rhetorical question?
I just think it's one of the most exciting, scary adventures you could be part of. With if when you say I'm available, what do you want me to do? My life is not mine today. How can I become what Phoebe was to Paul? Oh man, you say offer that to Jesus. Tell us your story. When you do that, you guys, whoever's listening, tell us your story.
I mean, I think, and the reason I said, is that a rhetorical mm-hmm. question? Because I don't think it's a rhetorical question. I actually think, go back and listen to this podcast to say, yeah, let me think that through. What is my positioning? Who am I in relationship with? How is God at work in that? I mean, sometimes we're so busy in the things of life, and maybe we'll end with this because I know we're coming to the end of the show, that all of this just kind of blasts on by, and to be able to just go, wait a minute, Lord, I actually want to intentionally hear or see or experience, become, get that excitement of what's happening in the gospel in what you're doing right here with me right now. Again, well, we'll end with this, but I just had that thought as you were saying that this might have been a totally natural thing for Phoebe. Like she might have been just, I'll take that. And I hope she didn't miss the significance of that we get now, right? So anyways, all that to say, we better close off.
Father, thank you so much for Phoebe's life and what she can teach us today. Mm-hmm. Open our ears and our understanding so that we could comprehend the scriptures as they unfold for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we want to thank NotMine.ca for sponsoring the show. Ray, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you again.
And we'll see you. Or talk to you next week on Let's Talk Money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.